Our liver is the primary filter of our body. Good health is impossible without proper function of the liver. Unfortunately, over time, we so abuse it and so overtax it that illness is the inevitable result. As part of a program to rebuild and repair the liver, we must, 1, remove all excess fat from our livers. We need to get bile flowing freely again. We need to eliminate toxic waste that our livers have filtered out of our blood. We need to dissolve and pass out the accumulated gallstones that are stored in our livers. And we need to regenerate the damaged and destroyed cells of the liver. Next to our skin, the liver is the largest organ in our body. In many ways, it is the most important organ in the body, and the last to be considered when it comes to health. In addition to being large, the liver is a complicated organ, involved in at least 200 separate functions. Generally speaking, the liver performs a vital role in regulating, synthesizing, storing, secreting, transforming, and breaking down many different substances in our body. Specifically, some of these include regulation of fat stores, cleaning the blood and discharging waste products, neutralizing and destroying poisons, protein metabolism, including manufacturing of new body proteins, metabolizing alcohol, managing chemicals and drugs in the blood, aiding the digestive process by the production of bile, helping the body to resist infections by producing immune factors and by removing bacteria from the bloodstream, storing vitamins, minerals, and sugars, production of quick energy when needed, controlling the production and excretion of cholesterol, maintaining hormone balance, and regenerating its own damaged tissue. The liver is so important to our well-being that many healers maintain that most diseases cannot develop in the body, that in fact no form of cell degeneration can occur if the liver is functioning in an efficient, healthy manner. Conversely, an unhealthy liver is very likely at the root of most serious health problems. So what harms the liver? Well, for one, too much protein in the diet. Protein metabolism is especially taxing on the liver, since it is the liver which must metabolize complex proteins into simple compounds. The greater the consumption of protein, the greater the stress on the liver. Too many simple carbohydrates in the diet are also harmful. The body converts excess simple carbohydrates into triglycerides, which are then stored in the liver as fat. The more fat stored in the liver, the harder it is for the liver to perform its full range of normal functions. Overeating stresses the liver. Too much enzyme-deficient food stresses the liver. Drug residues are a problem. Virtually all of the drugs that we take, medicinal, recreational, chemotherapy, whatever, are processed, purified, and refined in the liver in preparation for elimination from the body. Alcohol causes inflammation of the liver's tissue. Once the liver is inflamed, it can no longer filter, which causes it to plug up with fat and become even more inflamed. If we consume enough alcohol, we overwhelm the liver's ability to regenerate itself, and the net result is cirrhosis or hardening of the liver. Toxins, heavy metals, and pesticides, in fact, everything we breathe, eat, and absorb through our skin is purified and refined in the liver. Lack of exercise is a problem, since it forces the liver to do the elimination work that should be done by the lungs and the skin. And of course, there's always liver disease, such as chronic hepatitis C. And what are the symptoms of liver dysfunction? Well, they include things such as digestive problems, constipation, low energy output, allergies and hay fever, arthritis, diabetes, hypertension, obesity, and infertility. Fortunately, your liver has an astounding ability to regenerate itself if you give it a chance. And giving it a chance means two things. First, you need to stop doing the things that harm the liver, and then you need to start doing the things that help the liver. And what are the things we need to stop doing? Well, in one of my earlier talks, I discussed the elements of proper diet. Well, they particularly apply in terms of the liver. You need to eliminate or at least cut back the liver stresses in your diet. The sicker you are, the more cleaned up your diet needs to be. If you're suffering from serious liver problems, a total raw juice diet may be required for a time to give your liver time to regenerate. And what about the things that we need to do to start helping the liver? Well, several times a year you need to do a liver cleanse. By cleansing the liver, we're talking about inducing the liver to purge all of the fats, old cholesterol deposits, gallstones, poisons, drug residues, and toxic waste stored therein. Probably nothing else you do, including even the bowel cleanse and detox, will make a greater difference in your overall health than a good liver flush and detox. Now, I'm not going to try and explain the details of doing a cleanse in this talk, but some of the key elements include consumption of a drink made from orange juice, olive oil, garlic cloves, and ginger. Now, don't freak out. It actually tastes pretty good. When whipped up in a blender, the olive oil turns creamy, making the whole drink reminiscent of an orange Julius. Anyway, what this drink does is cause the liver and gallbladder to purge. If you're so inclined, and you should be, you should examine what you deposit in the toilet doing a cleanse. Look for stones. The bile from the liver gives some stones their pea-green color, but also look for black stones and red ones and brown ones, and look for stones with blood inside them. During the course of a cleanse, it's not uncommon to pass some 2,000 of these stones. Be glad. The more you pass, the healthier you become. You may also find untold numbers of tiny white cholesterol crystals mixed with the waste. Now, the use of an herbal tea and tincture along with a flush is essential. The tea helps with the flushing process, but also helps minimize any discomfort or nausea. The key herb in the tea is dandelion root, one of the strongest herbal lipotropics known. That is to say, it helps flush fat deposits from the liver. Other herbs that you'll find in a good detox tea include things like ginger, clove, cinnamon, burdock root, and horsetail. As I mentioned, the use of a liver tincture is also crucial in that it contains herbs that help the liver to rebuild and regenerate itself. A second benefit is that it significantly reduces the liver's release of LDL cholesterol, and that's good for your heart. The key herbs in a good liver tincture include milk thistle, dandelion root, the perennial herb Picoryza coroa, sometimes called kutkin or Indian milk thistle, and artichoke or beet leaf. Now, you'll also probably find in a good liver detox tincture the antiparasitic herbs such as wormwood and black walnut. Along with the garlic that you're taking with a liver flush drink, this will drive virtually any parasite from your body. And finally, I need to take a moment and talk about the gallbladder. The poor gallbladder. Guilty by being found at the scene of the crime, it is the frequent target of the surgeon's knife. Gallbladder removal is one of the most frequently performed operations in America. Over 500,000 gallbladders are removed each year in the United States. Women, incidentally, are 4 times more likely than men to get gallstones. Understand, the gallbladder is not responsible for the production of gallstones. The liver is the culprit, or rather what we do to the liver. The gallbladder is merely a holding area for bile to be used in the digestion of fats and oils. But if our diets are too high in the wrong kinds of oil, if we have allergies to dairy and eggs, low levels of stomach acid, too little fiber in our diet, stress, if the liver is not functioning properly, and on and on and on, well, then the bile produced in the liver, which is a mixture of cholesterol, minerals, bile salts, pigment, and lecithin, is of a type and consistency that tends to quickly harden into stones before it can be passed out of the gallbladder. Removing the gallbladder does not remove the problem. It merely removes the symptoms. Yes, it's true that after the gallbladder is removed, you're unlikely to suffer from further gallstones. But on the other hand, you've now traded one problem for 2 new ones. Since you never corrected the underlying problem of the imbalances in the liver, these problems just continue to get worse, eventually compromising the liver itself. And then by removing the gallbladder, you also remove its regulating effect on bile. That means that the bile is continually dumping into your intestinal tract when it's not needed and is available in only minimal amounts when it is needed. The net result is chronic digestive problems and probable long-term nutritional deficiencies. Far better than removing the gallbladder is a seasonal liver gallbladder flush combined with a periodic liver rebuilding program. Now, the other key component of our detox program is the blood. It needs to be cleansed and brought to optimum pH. Our blood is filled with many impurities, including everything from an overabundance of fats, circulating protein complexes and cholesterol, to toxic heavy metals and bacteria. These must be removed from the blood for optimum health. The idea of blood cleansing goes back to the Middle Ages, and when you think about it, the concept of cleaning the blood probably resonates with today's medical establishment about as well as bloodletting and philosopher's stones. Nevertheless, it does work, and what's more, it even makes sense. The concept that we eventually overwhelm our body's ability to remove all of the toxins from our blood is not really too hard to imagine, especially if we actually think about what it is that we eat and drink. Does anyone really believe the body is capable of removing the waste created in a life of eating high-fat, fast-food burgers, French fries cooked in beef fat, countless large colas containing 32 teaspoons of sugar, and cream-filled donuts boiled in lard and packed with hydrogenated oil and sugar filling? Then, to top it all off at the end of the day, a half pound of beef jerky and a bag of pork rinds accompanied by a six-pack of beer, just to teach your liver and blood a lesson. Okay, so maybe you don't do all of that, but remember what you do, and you do that day after day, year after year. Eventually, your blood can no longer remove everything you throw at it. It becomes toxic and thick, burbling like sludge through your arteries. The quality of your blood, the cells and plasma, is compromised by the quality of the food you eat. Your blood totally replaces itself every 120 days. How can you possibly expect to be building high-quality blood on a diet of pepperoni pizza, beer, and Twinkies? Eventually, you need to correct the problem on multiple levels or face long-term degenerative illness. One, you have to do general cleaning of the blood. Two, you have to remove all the heavy metals and excess cholesterol. Three, you have to address the issue of blood pH. And four, you have to eat the right kinds of food and supplements so that your body can begin producing, once again, healthy blood. So let's talk first about cleansing the blood. There are actually several ways to cleanse your blood. One of the most effective, as we discussed several talks ago, is to take digestive enzymes between meals or before bed. Within a matter of minutes, the enzymes enter the bloodstream and begin cleaning the detritus out of the blood and stimulating the immune cells to consume circulating immune complexes in the blood. This can make a significant improvement in your overall health. But what we're talking about now, though, is something quite different. We're talking about using herbal blood cleansers to remove toxic residues from the blood so that blood is now inimical to cancer and tumors. There's no secret as to which herbs cleanse the blood. Despite what medical doctors may think, the efficacy of these herbs has been proven over several hundred years. Just because medical science doesn't yet know why these herbs work as blood cleansers doesn't mean that they don't work. They do. The great blood cleansing herbs are red clover, burdock root, chaparral, poke root, and sheep sorrel. These are the herbs you'll find in the famous blood cleansing formulas, formulas such as the HemoClear formula, the Hoxie formula, the Essayac formula, and the Dr. Christopher and Dr. Schultz formulas. These herbs can literally drive tumors out of the body. Now, another aspect of blood cleansing that we need to talk about are the chelators. Over 300,000 bypass surgeries a year are now performed in U.S. hospitals at well over $40,000 each. It works out to something like $1.5 billion a year spent on coronary bypasses. At least 5% of the patients die from the procedure. Even more die not long after from complications such as stroke. But what the heck, it's a small risk and a small price to pay since there's no alternative, right? Well, not exactly. As it turns out, there is an alternative that's so effective that in countries such as New Zealand, it's against the law to perform a bypass unless this alternative has been tried first. This therapy is called chelation therapy, and potentially it could save hundreds of thousands of lives a year. Unfortunately, it costs just a fraction of what a coronary bypass or angioplasty costs. In other words, since chelation therapy would cost the medical establishment billions of dollars a year, it's not surprising they don't use it. Chelation therapy has two pronounced effects on the body. One, it chelates or claws onto heavy metals such as aluminum, lead, and mercury, particularly those located in the cardiovascular system, and pulls them out of your body. And by removing heavy metals from the body, chelation therapy significantly reduces the production of free radicals in the bloodstream and the consequent scarring of the arterial walls. The net result, for most people, is a dramatic improvement in the health and condition of their cardiovascular system. If you're in an advanced state of coronary disease, you should seriously consider tracking down a doctor who specializes in EDTA chelation therapy. Now understand, chelation therapy is not for everyone. It involves going to a doctor's office for a series of approximately 30 four-hour intravenous drip sessions. In addition, although it costs a fraction of what bypass surgery costs, it's not inexpensive, usually running a little over $2,000 for the complete set of 30 sessions. On the other hand, if you're not in an advanced state, there's an even easier alternative, and that's oral chelation. Oral chelation is not as quick as standard chelation therapy. Nevertheless, given a little time, it can do an extremely effective job at cleaning out the blood. Oral chelation formulas are usually based on one of two key ingredients. Most formulas are based on EDTA. EDTA works great when administered directly into the bloodstream through standard chelation therapy, but its usefulness when taken orally is open to question. There are some studies that indicate that there may be less than 5% absorption when taken orally. Maybe a more effective oral chelator is malic acid. Malic acid is found in fresh apples and apple cider vinegar. Malic acid is particularly useful in removing aluminum from the body. Then again, an interesting low-cost alternative may have recently emerged. Initial studies indicate that fresh cilantro or coriander may be extremely effective in helping flush heavy metals out of the blood. Taking 400 milligrams of cilantro a day can pretty much clean heavy metals out of the body in just 2 to 3 weeks. This can be determined by tracking the rise and fall of heavy metal levels found in the urine when fresh cilantro is consumed over a 3-week period. And how should you take the cilantro? Well, Dr. David Williams has a great recipe for cilantro pesto in his June 98 Alternatives newsletter. And finally, let's move on to our final topic of discussion, our body's acid-alkaline balance. As it turns out, our bodies function in a very narrow range of acid-alkaline balance, or pH as it's called. Our blood in particular is very sensitive to these changes. Ideally, blood pH should be slightly alkaline, at about 7.45. If it varies by even as little as a few tenths of a point, severe illness and death may result. Unfortunately, most of the food we eat is highly acidic. That's meat, dairy, sodas, alcohol, and cooked grains. In the end, it becomes too much for our bodies to handle. If we don't correct the problem by alkalinizing the body, disease, sickness, and death are the inevitable result. So what is pH? It's simply a measurement of the acid-alkaline balance of anything. On the pH scale, water is neutral and rates a 7 on the scale. Acids, such as hydrochloric acid and citric acid, are rated as numbers less than 7. The further away from 7 the number is, the stronger the acid. Cow's milk, for example, at 6.5 is slightly acidic. Soft drinks at 3 are strongly acidic, and stomach acid at 1.5 is very strongly acidic. Alkaline substances include everything that rate above 7 on the pH scale. Again, as with acids, the further away from 7 the number, the more alkaline the substance. Blood at 7.45 is slightly alkaline. Pancreatic juice in your intestines is strongly alkaline at 8.8, and baking soda at 12 is very strongly alkaline. Your body has a whole range of different pHs that it has to maintain. Your saliva is slightly alkaline, your stomach is strongly acidic, your intestines are strongly alkaline, your urine is acid, but of all of the pHs in your body, the most crucial is your blood. If your blood pH deviates even 5/10 of a point from normal pH of 7.45, death is likely. Considering the importance of pH in the body, it's well worth discussing a little further how it affects the body and how we can help maintain the proper pH levels in our own bodies. The importance of pH really boils down to two things. One, enzymes. We've already discussed the importance of enzymes. They control every single metabolic function in our bodies, and they are integral to our immune system. As it says in Anatomy and Physiology by Anthony and Thibodeau, enzymes function optimally at a specific pH and become inactive if this deviates beyond narrow limits. Now, the second key area where pH affects us is oxygen. Every cell in your body requires oxygen for life and to maintain optimum health. To put it simply, the more acid the blood, the less oxygen is available for use by the cells. Without going into a discussion of the chemistry involved, just understand that it's the same mechanism involved when acid rain kills a lake. The fish literally suffocate to death because the acid in the lake binds up all of the available oxygen. It's not that the oxygen has gone anywhere, it's just no longer available. Conversely, if you raise the pH of the lake, oxygen's now available and the lake comes back to life. Incidentally, it's worth noting that cancer is related to an acid environment or lack of oxygen in the body. The higher the pH, the more oxygen present in the cells of the body, the harder it is for cancer to thrive. The bottom line is that a balanced pH is vital. Any extended pH imbalance of any kind threatens our well-being, threatens, in fact, our very lives. Managing the pH balance of all of our body fluids is so important that our bodies have developed systems to monitor and balance acid-alkaline levels in every cell and biosystem. So what affects pH in our bodies? As I just mentioned, our bodies have developed a system for maintaining pH balance in all of our body fluids. To understand the system better, we need to take a look at what changes pH, usually making us more acid, and how our bodies respond to that change. When they're metabolized, carbohydrates, proteins, and fats produce various acids in our bodies. Proteins produce sulfuric acid and phosphoric acid. Carbohydrates and fats produce acetic acid and lactic acid. Since these acids are poisonous to the body, they must be eliminated. Unfortunately, they can't be eliminated through the kidneys or large intestines as they would damage these organs. Well, specifically, what foods are acid-forming in your body? Well, as I mentioned, all meats, fish, poultry, eggs, dairy, cooked grains, and refined sugars. And probably at the top of the list in the human diet is soda pop. Not only is it high in refined sugar, which is highly acid-forming in and of itself, but most soda pop contains a large amount of phosphoric acid, not to mention carbon dioxide, an end product of the acid neutralization process. And what foods are alkaline-forming? Well, pretty much it's down to fresh fruits and vegetables. These are the foods that are alkaline-forming and help your body maintain a proper pH. Note, even though citrus fruits are highly acidic, your body treats them as alkaline, so they're highly effective alkalinizers. Anyway, since your body can't eliminate acids through the kidneys, the way it handles them is to neutralize them with the minerals sodium, calcium, potassium, and magnesium. And of these, calcium is the most important. Now here's the key to the whole deal. Your body makes use of a priority system if there aren't enough available minerals to neutralize all of the acids present. Blood is at the top of the pack. Your body will steal minerals from anywhere and everywhere before it will let your blood go too acidic. Remember, even a slight deviation in blood pH results in death. Saliva is at the bottom of the pack. Saliva is the first place your body steals minerals from to balance the blood. That's why pH testing saliva provides an early warning system for when you're becoming too acidic. At optimum health, your saliva will test at 7.45. At 6.5 to around 7, you'll find yourself frequently succumbing to colds and sickness. And at 5.5 or lower, you can pretty much count on the fact that major disease has already taken hold. Virtually all cancer patients test strongly acidic on a saliva pH test. Unfortunately, your saliva just doesn't contain that bigger reserve of minerals, so you soon run out. That places your bones next on the priority list. Surprise! Your bones are your body's prime mineral reserve. That's right. If your diet is too acid-forming, too much meat, dairy, carbohydrates, and sugar, etc., your body will begin leaching calcium from your bones to balance the pH and avoid death. In effect, your body says osteoporosis is preferable to death. So how can we help ourselves? Well, first, change your diet. Follow the guidelines laid out in my talk on diet. These guidelines are designed to help your body alkalinize. In addition, there are several special alkalinizing agents available. Your health food store, for example, has alkalinizing teas or drops available. There's a machine from Japan that will micronize your water. What it actually does is take your tap water and divide it into two. One stream is acidic and can be used for washing and cleaning. The other stream is alkaline and used for drinking. It works really well. Unfortunately, it's really expensive, anywhere from $600 to $1,200 a machine. Fortunately, there is a simple alternative. You can magnetize your water. As I mentioned in my last talk, applying a magnetic field to a pitcher of water for a short period of time will make it more alkaline. It also offers the added advantage of lessening the surface tension, which makes the water wetter and more usable by the cells of your body. To give you an actual real-world example, the water that comes out of the tap in our house is pH 7, which actually is pretty good for tap water. After it runs through our water filter, however, its pH has been raised to 7.5, and after the water has been magnetized, it has a pH of about 8, which is just about ideal for drinking water. Anyway, let's finish off with some recommendations. First, you want to do a liver gallbladder flush with the olive oil and orange juice drink and the liver detox tea 2 to 4 times a year, even more often if you're ill, to eliminate any accumulation of liver fat, toxins, and incipient gallstones. This is mandatory. In addition to flushing, you need to regularly partake of a liver-rebuilding tincture slash tonic. Such a tonic does 3 things. Herbs such as milk thistle stimulate the liver to rebuild itself, Picrorhiza coroa serves to protect the liver, and herbs such as dandelion root, barberry, artichoke, and beet leaf are lipotropics that help to clean the fat out of the liver. Also, regular consumption of fresh apple beet juice is profoundly beneficial to the liver. And please note, never do a liver cleanse without first cleaning out the colon to provide an outlet for the toxins released by the liver. Now, as for the blood, 2 to 4 times a year, even more often if ill, you need to go on an herbal cleansing of the blood with a tincture containing herbs such as red clover, burdock root, poke root, and chaparral. And as with the liver detox, never do a blood cleanse without first cleaning out the colon to provide an outlet for the toxins released by the blood. Also for the blood, you want to do oral chelation 3 to 4 times a year for a period of 2 to 3 weeks at a time. Use either cilantro pesto or malic acid tablets. If you want, you can also use one of the low-level oral chelators on the market. And then it's absolutely vital that you alkalinize your body. Cut way back on acid-producing foods such as meat, dairy, sugar, soda pop, refined grains, etc. Add alkalinizing foods to your diet. Drink water that's been magnetized. Magnetizing raises the pH by up to 1 full point. And one final thought on pH. It really makes sense to test the pH of your saliva on a regular basis as a touchstone of your overall health. You can pick up pH paper specifically designed for this purpose at most health food stores. Make sure you test in the morning before brushing or eating, as these things can temporarily alter the pH in your mouth. Just spit out a couple of times into the sink and then onto the pH paper. Ideally, your pH should be about 7.45. If it tests below 7, you should get aggressive in terms of alkalinizing your body. Then there's fasting. There are any number of books on fasting to help guide you through the process. The principles of fasting are simple. First, when you deprive your body of food, your body begins to consume itself to survive. Being geared to self-survival, your body chooses to consume damaged cells and toxic cells first, saving the healthiest for later. And then two, it takes a tremendous amount of energy and puts a tremendous strain on your body's organs to process food. Check your heart rate after eating a large meal and observe how exhausted you feel. When you fast, your body diverts that energy to repair and to rebuild. And no matter what medical doctors may say, the process works. In fact, a simple thought that should clue you into the necessity for periodic fasting is the fact that human beings are the only animals that eat when they're sick. Think about that for a moment. Have you ever observed how dogs or cats, for example, stop eating while they're recovering? They intuitively understand the healing power of fasting. There are 3 levels of fasting worth considering. First, the pure water fast. This is the most powerful, but also produces the most toxic side effects. I do not recommend it unless you have a great deal of experience in fasting or are working directly with a qualified healer. Next is juice fasting. Fasting on fresh juices helps smooth out many of the negatives of fasting and is great for most people. And then even gentler is supplementing your juice fast with spirulina or chlorella throughout the day. The one thing you need to be careful of while fasting is the buildup of ketones in the body. Make sure you drink large amounts of water to flush the ketones from your body. One final note on fasting. In our second talk, we discussed the herbal colon activator formula that provides both cleansing and healing to the entire gastrointestinal system. It's highly recommended that you use such a formula while fasting to accelerate removal of toxins from the colon. If not, you'll have to take a colonic or an enema every day. Well, that concludes Part 11 of the Take Back Your Health series. Part 12, we'll talk about the miracles of your immune system. In many ways, your immune system is the most awesome system in your body, easily rivaling your brain in terms of complexity, subtlety, and self-awareness. And yet, we seem to do everything in our power to destroy it. For example, just one can of soda pop can depress your immune system by some 50% for as long as 6 hours. There's no chance for good health or the elimination of disease until your immune system has been optimized. We'll see how you do that in Part 12.